can always tweet us at 99.3 ESPN Radio. We might even tweet you back. This is Schiemann and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
I'm Craig Schiemann with Pete Shepherd. It's Schiemann and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app on a hump day Wednesday. Rick Church rocking it on the other side of the glass. Keep the Rick Church birthday celebrations coming up on the text line. Tomorrow, April Fool's Day is, it's no fool, it's actually Rick's birthday tomorrow. So, but he won't be here tomorrow. But he will be here Friday. Rick, what is it? You're here probably running our show Friday and then again Monday, right? Because we're on the road.
I'll be here.
I'll be here
for the frivolity.
All right. Frivolity is great. And we will take that frivolity to South Street City Oven and Grill on Pine Ridge in Naples. That is for Friday's show and Monday. And perhaps you have, you know, Friday off with Good Friday or maybe Easter Monday off. Some of you have it off. So we'll be there for 2 to 6 both days. Come on by and see us. It is a great place. We're very proud to be associated with it there. And we'll have a lot of fun. All right. Coming up, Pete Shepherd is going to drop something on me that I'm regarding ACC. Is it football or sports in general with the ACC with new commissioner?
It mostly has to do with football.
All right.
But in general, the ACC has to do with football as well.
Okay.
And I got a special guest that's going to join us tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Okay. I'm looking forward to that. Meanwhile, the birthday celebrations keep. Delivery man just hit you up, Rick. Happy birthday, Rick. All right. It's always amazing how this happens. When Rick's here, for some reason, we do this on time. When he's not, we're like 10 minutes late. Mm-hmm. But 3 minutes past the hour, it is time for a SportsCenter rundown, everybody.
SportsCenter update brought to you by Best Home Services. Service appointments available now.
GetBest.com.
Here are your tip-off times for the Final Four. 5:14 precisely on Saturday. First game of the Final Four is Baylor and Houston. Second game at 8:34 with 11 seed UCLA taking on top seed Gonzaga. Two more lawsuits against Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson for alleged sexual assault and inappropriate behavior conduct. 21 lawsuits now against the Texans quarterback, for those of you keeping score at home. All right. Kathleen now checking in, wishing Rick a happy birthday, and she loves the bumper music. So very good. All right. Keep them coming. All right, Pete Shepherd, where are we at with Jim Phillips and his newfangled ideas for the ACC?
Well, let me just tell you real quick about our special guest tomorrow before I forget.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is really something. I tried for a week from tomorrow, but this will have to do, and why not? He's awesome. Lee Elder, first African-American to ever participate in the Masters. He's also going to hit the ceremonial tee shot next Thursday at the Masters with Gary Player and Jack Nicklaus.
Yeah.
He is going to join us tomorrow at 5 p.m. right here on the Schiemann and Shepherd Show.
Sweet.
With some unbelievable stories and perspective on the PGA. And he's legendary. He really is. He's a pioneer in so many ways.
Was he on the ceremonial tee in the fall? I think he was, right? That was the first time he had done it, I thought.
I think so. I think so.
So
he will be again.
But again, it was a different experience. And again, still, there were no patrons last year or a few? I can't remember.
None.
In the fall, the Masters in the fall.
There weren't any.
And there will be some this time. Mm-hmm. Not a full crowd, but it'll be a different experience altogether. So,
yep,
good. Looking forward to talking to him about that. That's at 5 o'clock tomorrow.
5 o'clock tomorrow. Lee Elder, great Lee Elder, will join us.
All right. Now, Jim Phillips is the new commissioner of the ACC. I saw this article. I did not read it. You did. You found something intriguing about this. You wanted to share and drop on me cold on the air. All right. What do we got? Where are we going?
Well, first of all, it's all about the ACC trying to compete with the SEC and the Big Ten for revenue.
Yes.
Where right now it's kind of Clemson, and we're talking mostly about football here, right?
Yeah.
It's mostly Clemson and then sort
that's
of everybody else.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, a lot of teams like Miami, North Carolina, even Virginia Tech, they're trying to, you know, Florida State, trying to get back to where they were. It's been difficult. But there's some talks out there. And remember, it's not an old discussion when you bring up maybe taking a team or two out of the Big 12 because they were a ripe target during the last round of conference realignment about 10 years ago, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
And they're now looking at its own uncertain future with a new TV deal on the horizon, the shaky status of the Longhorn Network, which it looks like that may not exist much longer.
Right.
So there is talk. Would you be opposed? And again, we're a long way away, but there is talk about them. Don't tell a lot of people this.
Okay.
They are going to try to steal Texas and Oklahoma out of the Big 12 and put them in the ACC.
All for it. All for it.
I am too.
And I'll tell you why.
I don't know if they can pull it off, but I think you're going to hear a lot more rumblings about that coming up in the near future.
And I'll tell you exactly why I'm all for it. First of all, it alludes to a problem that you mentioned. It's been Clemson and everybody mm-hmm. else for a while. I don't know if that'll change or not. Again, you mentioned the two schools, North Carolina and Miami, that seem like they could knock on the door. But here's the other thing. That will blow up the Big 12. We'll be down to four power conferences. We got four spots in the playoffs. It's all neat and even for me. I'm good to go.
No, just again, it adds to my theory that it makes expansion inevitable. But several athletic directors have mentioned in the ACC, have mentioned Texas and Oklahoma as potential option closing the gap with the SEC and the Big Ten. That would send ripples, though, across college. I think it'd be a great thing. Now, like you said, Big 12 would be no more. They'd have to.
Now, there are a handful of, you know, like, interesting schools still left over in the Big 12. Where do they go? Like Oklahoma State, Baylor, or TCU,
yeah.
Which are, you know, they're viable schools yeah. that I think any conference would like to have. Do they float into the Big 10 at that point? You got to do something with them.
Oh, absolutely. Spread them out.
Yeah. I'm all for. Look, the only thing that's holding the Big 12 together was the fact that, well, the Texas network. And Oklahoma didn't yeah. want to leave Texas. And otherwise, this thing should have, could have, would have been blown up years ago.
But Andrew Adelson and David Hale, great piece about it today on ESPN. They close out by saying, but Texas has outsized control in its own league, along with a seemingly endless revenue stream, and past dalliances with the Pac-12 ultimately amounted to nothing. Mm-hmm. Could that change down the road if TV money and playoff expansion dominoes fall the right way? It was a common enough theme among ACC ADs to assume Phillips will at least do his due diligence. So he is going to, I believe, explore this option, according to this report.
Now, how close are we to possibly seeing the end of the Longhorn TV network?
Like I said, I don't think it's...
That's what stopped
it. It's on shaky ground, according to this report. So I don't know what the deal is. But again, it could... As they point out, the Longhorns and the Sooners, a perfect solution for the ACC or Pac-12, you know, revenue rule. I remember Colorado left.
Yeah.
So
does the ACC take on more than Texas and Oklahoma? Are they only interested in the two?
I don't know. It would make sense if they went after, you know, more, but it makes it very interesting.
I mean, what happens to Kansas? That program is barely hanging onto a lifeline right now in football.
Then go to the MAC.
Okay.
Well, no, but then you got to have.
But they're
basketball considerations
power.
Too.
Yeah, they're worth it just on basketball.
You know, football rules. Or are they going to have? I mean, because you can't be in two conferences, right? You can't be.
No. Well, Notre Dame.
Well, that was
kind of
that
did.
Was a one.
No, I mean they were independent.
Shot
you know,
that.
They're independent football, but they're ACC and.
Yeah, and they were also independent football, then Big East of basketball. They were, you know, they tried to be Big Ten and the Big Ten and hockey.
West Virginia and Texas Tech need to find a home. No, but I like the idea. I actually do. That was my gut reaction right from the get-go. And again, we look at the end game differently. I like four tidy champions, and they – move on to the playoffs.
No, we know that's not even if it's longer than you think it's not going to happen for 3-4 years, but it's expansion is happening. That is no doubt. It's inevitable that it will happen.
I don't agree with that.
Well, it's going to happen.
I don't agree with that.
There's no question. It's just too much money for it not to happen.
They're making money now.
No, they make more.
It's too
money.
Much money now.
They're going to make
doing
more
fine.
Money. No, they're going to make more money.
What if they're smart? They'll make more money with their TV deals and their conferences because now they got all these viable teams, and then your regular season and then your conference championship, in effect, is your ipso facto playoff.
Well, the expansion's happening. Get it through your thick head. It's happening.
Get it through your thick head.
It's happening.
You've been saying it for 4 years.
No, but we know what's going to happen as soon as this.
We
do not
because we can't. More years keep clicking by and nobody's doing it.
No, that's just still in the contract for the current playoff.
I know,
system.
But we're coming to the end of that contract
in a couple
pretty soon.
Years, and it should have already happened. Everybody wants it except you.
Except me.
Good Lord.
It's going to happen.
On one hand, we're making these super conferences and making them awesome. On the other hand, you're going to dilute them and water them down.
You're not diluting them at all.
The season means nothing because the whole league's going to get into the playoffs.
You're
going to have four teams from the ACC and six teams from the SEC.
You're not
diluting
anything at all. And your worst nightmare could come true this year again where you could have the loser of the Clemson-Georgia game and they could end up meeting again. In the college football playoff.
Never seems
both
to
happen.
Both
of those teams are going to have a chance, if one of them loses, to get back into it if they win out. There's a lot of scenarios. Just too much money. But your overall point about the ACC getting their fair share of the pie, yes, they got to come up with a deal. The SEC just signed a gigantic deal. So
and Seminole Nation says Florida State would be good again in a couple of years. Yeah, get on the program here, Florida State. We're waiting. Yeah. You're a basketball school right now.
As a non-football member of the ACC, Notre Dame's payout from the league combined with its NBC TV deal added up to about $22 million for 2018-19, less than full-time ACC programs. So the Irish certainly increased their TV revenue as a full member in 2020. But they remain adamant about independence, meaning little real movement has occurred behind the scenes.
But you just told me they made more money last year joining the ACC from TV money.
Well, I know.
That should speak louder than anything. What are they clinging to?
They're a bunch of snot rags. Seriously. Our bleep doesn't stink, and yours does. And I don't understand it.
I found it to be enjoyable having them in the ACC.
Yeah.
I found it to add drama between them and Clemson and
brings back, you're going to restart the rivalry with Miami again?
Yes.
Which was.
There's a thousand reasons to do it.
Everybody wants it, but for some reason they think they are better and higher up on a pedestal than everybody else. And I for the life of me, I cannot understand it in this day and age. Look, they spurned every single offer from the Big Ten, from the Big East, from the ACC. I don't know. I'm telling you, they were lucky that the ACC took them in last year. They didn't have to.
They would not have had a season.
But money outweighed principle, as usual.
But
all it was about.
Let it happen
for the ACC
again.
Was money.
But let it happen again. They're making more money on the ACC deal than all by themselves on NBC. That's what I'm hearing. I don't know why they don't just switch. It's over. Do it. It's better. And frankly,
they'd have to give up. There'd probably be some stipulation. Maybe not. That they'd have to give up the NBC TV deal.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah,
they're gonna make more money on the ACC deal.
I agree.
And they got a great shot to make the playoffs.
They get exposure anyway. They're on every week, no matter what.
There's no question mark.
Yeah, they're on ESPN, ABC, NBC. It doesn't really matter. Everyone of the games is gonna be on. But for the life of me, I cannot understand this snobby snottyism, narcissistic. Notre Dame Fighting Irish, we're better than everybody else, and you should just... Those days are way done. Done.
I know.
I don't understand it, why they don't want to be in a conference.
Yeah, I don't know what they're clinging to. I really don't.
They're clinging to Ara Parseghian and Newt Rockne and all that nonsense that doesn't exist anymore.
Those are dead
great
people.
Stuff, great stories, great history. I respect the institution very much, but the snobby snotism that comes out of there, that oozes out of there like a bad zit, is awful.
That's disgusting.
Totally. That's how I feel about it. They've spurned every single conference, or three of the big five.
Yeah.
So, and they seem to always get their way. Yeah, hockey, we're going to spurn Hockey East. We're going to leave and go play in the Big Ten. Well, Big Ten, don't take them. We're going to go play basketball in the ACC. Don't take them.
Right.
Go ahead. See what happens in football. See what happens in football when you have to play BYU seven times. Or Air Force, or whatever independent schools are left out. New Mexico.
I thought that was the path they were headed down before they finally made the move.
I did too.
And by the way, it still worked out for them. I mean, it was an ideal situation. Look, the reason they wouldn't do it in the ACC is, all right, well, like Clemson's really a juggernaut now. They're going to be in our way all the time. But they both made the playoffs last year, right? Yep. Is my memory gone already?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it made it easier to put Notre Dame in the playoffs last year. I don't know.
Well, I don't know if it made it easier, but
they showed that they were clearly one of the top four teams last year, and I thought it was easy to put them in. Usually, Notre Dame's always that big question mark. It's like, all right, they're the independent. Are they the fifth team?
I told you I would have put Texas A&M in if it were me.
Yeah, there's a strong argument for that,
but.
Yeah,
but I understand it, and they lost again, like they always do.
Yes,
they were semi-competitive this time, right?
Well, in my opinion, both games were blowouts. But one was a 17-point spread, and the other one was.
But don't let the ACC fool you. They took in Notre Dame last year for money, and
sure.
They'll tell you it was for the sake of the student. No, it wasn't for the sake of the student athletes. It was because of the wallet.
It was a symbiotic financial agreement.
That's all it was.
Worked for both sides.
That's all it was about money and nothing else. Not about education, not about higher learning, not about God, you or me. It was about money.
Yeah.
So.
Well.
But we'll see. But, again, this whole thing started with Jim Phillips taking over the ACC, trying to come up with a much better television deal. And, they've got to get the ACC network on every cable system, too. That's been a problem.
Well, that's problem
you
got
to get it on every, and I know some. You got to get it on.
And how enticing is, a Duke Virginia Tech football game? You're right. They got to get more powerhouse schools in there. They can't all be about Clemson. And why I like this move.
Yeah. I think you're going to hear some rumblings. They're going to explore the possibility of snatching away Oklahoma and Texas. I don't know if they'll be able to do it, but I'm saying it is going to be in future discussions.
Yes.
I think it's interesting
and
stuff.
And then 863 says, how about the SEC then picking up West Virginia, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, and Nebraska? Maybe. I don't know if Nebraska is a lifer in the Big Ten anymore. They never really seem to fit in.
I agree. Same thing with Rutgers, I mean.
Yeah.
And Maryland, too. Maryland doesn't belong in the Big Ten.
I agree. I still think of them as an ACC school.
Yeah.
Put them back.
But then, I mean, you look at what the Big East Basketball Conference has become, and it had a down year this year. It was very good last year. But you're talking about teams from Nebraska, Creighton's in Nebraska. They're playing in it.
Yes.
It's not like it used to be, but basketball is different, and that's the other thing. You take away Oklahoma and Texas from the Big 12. We're not just talking about football here,
right? Right.
We're talking about every sport.
By the way, good point, Grand Poobah. He texts into the Supreme Court hearing arguments today on NCAA athletic compensation.
Gonna get to
any
that.
Thoughts? Sorry, tuning late. Yeah. This is the problem. You never want Congress or the Supreme Court making decisions for you. Had Mark Emmert and the NCAA had some leadership and come up with a plan years ago, the Supreme Court and or Congress never needs to get involved in this stuff. But now they are. And guess what? The NCAA is going to lose. The Supreme Court's going to make them do stuff they don't want to do.
Absolutely. And well, they should. And the Supreme Court today heard more than 90 minutes of oral arguments in the NCAA versus Alston case. That's the first time that the Supreme Court has weighed in on a business of college sports in about 40 years.
Yeah.
The question in front of the court is whether the NCAA deserves special relief from normal antitrust rules in order to protect its educational mission and preserve a tradition of amateurism in college sports. The court is expected to make a ruling sometime in late spring or early summer. So a federal district court judge decided in her ruling in the Alston case last year that the limits the NCAA member schools mutually agree to place on what each school can provide to with athletes in compensation are illegal.
Uh-huh.
The judge's ruling opens the door for athletes to receive unlimited benefits as long as they are related in some way to education, which includes as classroom equipment, study abroad travel, funding for post-graduation internships, and cash payments for academic achievements.
Oh.
The NCAA appealed the judge's ruling, arguing that the loose guidelines of education-related benefits could be exploited in a way that will blur the lines between college sports and professional leagues. You're absolutely right, Craig. When this is all said and done, and I'm not saying it's going to be unanimous or anything else, it may be, 5-4, but I do think that the NCAA is going to lose this case.
Yeah, they are. It's going to be bad for them.
Yeah.
Coming up, I want to get into the NFL. We'll hear from Roger Goodell talking about the 17-game schedule, for example. And then we're going to talk about some of the records that will likely fall now that we have an extra game. It's not life or death stuff. It's just fun stuff to look at. Cosby checking in. Who has a text named Cosby? He said his real name's Vince from Fort Myers. Rick, Rick, have yourself a wonderful birthday. Truly enjoy your production part of Real Talk Radio and for what you do with the station. So a lot of kudos.
Yes.
Driveway Social Club wishing you a happy birthday as well. So again, Rick Church is here today and his birthday is tomorrow.
Thank you for the lovely messenger. They're very, very kind.
Keep them coming. Make Rick feel special. We are also proud to announce that the Naples Wealth Planning Sheeman and Shepherd Golf Scramble at Stony Brook Golf Club is Friday, May 21st at 8:30. Get your foursome signed up now before it gets sold out. And we'll have some fun out there. We're going to do our show. It'll be our four-year anniversary show out there as well. The Naples Wealth Planning Sheeman and Shepherd Scramble brought to you in part by T42 and Estero Bay Chevrolet as well. Sheeman and Shepherd on a hump day Wednesday on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Facebook has turned into a platform where anyone can spew nonsense. Sounds like these guys. Like our Facebook page, 99.3 ESPN Radio. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
I'm Craig Sheeman with Pete Shepherd. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
I love when Notre Dame fans get angry at me.
Which is daily.
That's fine. Like I said, my dad was a huge Notre Dame fan. Every time they won, he would go on my answering machine and sing, da-da-da-da-da, every time.
That's what me and my brother do with the Indiana-Purdue thing. But typically, when a young lad grows up, you you kind of emulate your dad, and whoever your dad likes, the kid likes. That happens a lot. That did not happen with you in Notre Dame.
No. And like I said, my dad was a Providence College person. He went to University of Maryland Medical School. But the Maryland thing never really took with me either. I mean, I kind of rooted for them.
Yeah.
But it was more for me growing up because we vacationed on the East Coast. So it was Miami.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't Notre Dame person. However, Iris Browning, I'm going to read this whole thing. Normally I wouldn't do this, but agreed the ACC Notre Dame deal last year was all about the money, but you still can't grasp Notre Dame's status as an independent play. Anyone around the country, they've lost half of that already with their agreement with the ACC. If they went full-time and do any conference, they would lose the rest of the great rivalries that they built over the past 100 years. And to be truthful, the only thing that is more snooty and snobbish than Notre Dame, as you say, is the Boston attitude from all you beaners up there who have absolutely no reason to be so high and mighty. At least we have a reason. What's the matter? You couldn't get into Notre Dame, so that's why you hate us so much.
Aww.
First of all, Iris Brown, let me tell you something. In Boston, there are probably more Notre Dame fans there than Boston College fans. It is full of Notre Dame fans. Sickening how many Notre Dame fans there are and where I came from. It really is. And it's the problem I have with Boston College is it's tougher to get into Boston College than it is Notre Dame, which is why BC has had problems with their football programs recently because they will not lower their standards. Where Notre Dame has had the Chris Zoriches of the world.
Here's what I want.
But I will say this. Look, if you're talking about, I'm half tongue in cheek with the Iris Browning here, but when you talk about the rivalries they built up over 100 years. What? So those great rivalries we can watch every year so they can blow out Army, Navy, and Air Force on TV? Yeah, those are thrilling. They can still play USC.
That's what I want. Right there, you just hit it on the head. Look, as far as Notre Dame and its rivalry games, The Southern Cal game, you could still schedule that. Or if you want to do it like every other year, I bring back the Michigan game. I love Michigan-Notre Dame.
I do, too.
I hate it when they go years when they don't play.
I do, too.
And then schedule a couple of cupcakes or throw in a Navy and then do the ACC schedule. And there'll be enough cupcakes in the ACC schedule. It's top-heavy.
Rotate the academies every year if you want to do that. Nobody cares about Notre Dame, Army, Air Force, and every single year to watch Blowout City. Okay, yeah, one-year Navy. Navy won a few years ago. Yeah. Finally. But that's the problem with you people. You Notre Dame, 100 years.
You
that's
beaners.
It. Rudy. Win one for the Gipper, Ronald Reagan, all the Newt Rockney, all that. That's gone. Let's talk about the present.
Pete wants to make it better. Make it better. Yes. All right. Yeah. With that, I'll let Pete calm down a minute. But I agree with a lot of what you said there.
Yeah, I mean, don't talk to me about rivalries from 100 years ago. Come on.
Yeah. All right. Rick, could you fire up? And we'll get back into talking some college football, too, because I got some more stuff, and I know Pete does, too. Roger Goodell spoke yesterday, and he insists this brand-new 17-game schedule will not be more dangerous for players.
It's not more games. We're still within the 20-game format. That was something that was important to the NFLPA, and that was part of the structure of our CBA. What we're looking to do here is taking the data, and actually the data, the highest rate of injury is actually in a preseason game of any of our games, even our practices. So what we're actually doing is actually following the data, following the science.
Follow the
science.
Sort of,
make sure that we're doing things both from a health and safety standpoint as well as seeking always to get better in every way.
All right. Follow the science. Now here's Adam Schefter. Roger Goodell also wants to have full stadiums in September. This is on ESPN.
Listen, we are so far out of the start of the regular season now. Who would have thought at this time last year that the NFL would be able to play a full game without a single cancellation, and the league pulled that off? So when Roger Goodell says today, as he did, that he is expecting that there be full stadiums this year with all the fans in attendance, I think obviously this country just has to continue on the trajectory that it's going with more vaccinations, with more people getting them. And hopefully at that point in time, there'll be enough mask wearing, there'll be enough protections in place that it won't be an issue and that these stadiums will be full like everybody would love to see this upcoming fall.
All right. Now, Pete, I have a couple questions for you.
Yeah.
Question number one. Now that the NFL is 17 games and 3 preseason, you know Roger Goodell's real goal here and the owner's goal has been to have 18 games and maybe 2 preseason games. How long until we have that? Because the talk's already happening.
Well, it's 40 years for this expansion, so I don't know. A lot of averages. Let's go 30 more years. Yeah, I mean, they can... 2 exhibition games, I think, would be fine with all the players.
Now,
coaches may not like it, but...
Does football have these hallowed records? You know, like baseball and the 61 home runs and Babe Ruth the 60, and it was 154 games or 162 games. We're going to run into that in football now because, you know, Eric Dickerson, his 21-05 when he passed O.J. O.J. did the 2003 with 14 games. Dickerson did it with 16. Now, much more likely, we'll get a 2,000-yard rusher with the 18 games. Or, you know, Calvin Johnson's mark, 1,964. He came really close 1 year to getting to 2,000. Now maybe somebody will. Peyton Manning's 5,477. That'll go by the wayside. Do we care?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Baseball records, which is why people go crazy about steroids and all that stuff, which I used to care about. Now I don't because everybody was doing it. So let everybody in, as far as I'm concerned, because everybody was doing it.
Okay.
But baseball records are still the most cherished of all the sports. The home run record, people know right away.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them, they know a lot of the records. They are on a pedestal above all the other sports and some of the records. I think that's been the case for a while. It may not be. Think about a 1,000-yard rusher. Right before they made the expansion to 16 games, a 1,000-yard rusher back in the 60s and 70s, a 14-game schedule,
mm-hmm.
was considered really good, right?
Yes.
That was only 71.4 yards a game.
It's a layup.
And that was considered a lot.
That's falling down forward 10 times.
Yeah. And and then you moved it up to 16, and it went down to 62.5 to be a 1,000-yard rusher.
Yeah.
Now, you're talking 1,500 yards in a 16-game schedule. Okay, now you're getting closer to about 94 yards a game.
Yeah.
And if you're talking about 2,000 yards in a 16-game schedule, that's about 125 yards a game.
Are you doing that math on the fly over there?
Yeah.
Around the, oh, wow. Yeah. Nicely done.
No, I have my phone in my calculator. When you divide it by 17 games, 2,000-yard season, 117.6.
Mm-hmm.
So, but people aren't calculating that. I mean, you can just do the eyeball. I mean, you know. You know, back in the day, I mean, Gale Sayers did not have to rush for 2,000 yards to know what an awesome runner that
right,
he was,
right.
An awesome running back he was. Neither did Walter Payton, Earl Campbell, all those guys. I mean, they didn't have to have 2,000-yard rushing seasons to understand how awesome they didn't have to do what Derrick Henry did.
But if we do,
is that stuff overrated?
I don't know. Look, if we go to 18 games, you're going to have a 6,000-yard passer. You're going to. I mean, the Peyton Manning's pace when he did 54-77, easily somebody could come along and do 6,000 yards in an 18-game schedule. I don't know if they could do it in 17. Maybe they could. Maybe they could. But anyway, if that stuff's important to you or if those are any kind of benchmarks for you. But the game has changed so much. These passing numbers now compared to 15, 20 years ago are ridiculous now. They're going to be even more ridiculous than a 17 and an 18-game schedule. But
well, yeah, I just think, you just start – obviously, if somebody throws for 6,000 yards, it's going to be
I mean, the 5,000 yard barrier is kind of a neat mark for quarterbacks, Peyton Manning, or Brady, or Brees.
They don't put asterisks next to the 162 game schedule record breakers who broke the 154 game mark.
No, they don't. They want to, but
they wanted to, but they're not. Should they?
Probably not.
That's eight more games.
Yeah.
That's eight more games. So I think what you will hear is you'll see some records that from a 14-game schedule, you go, oh, wow. And once in a while, it'll be comparable to a 16-game, or now it'll be 17-game. You probably see, there's a few exceptions where you say, wow, imagine if he was playing 17 games, what he could have done.
Yeah, some of that. I mean, OJ.
But I think that's always going that's always going to be the case.
Clearly.
I think most fans have – I mean, this is all good for the league, I think, right? 17. I think it's all good.
More football is always good. Again, the only question mark is at what point do we get to the point where bodies can't take anymore? Now, Roger Goodell's explanation was, well, most injuries happen in preseason and we're fine. So I don't know. I don't know what the truth is. I never knew who to believe on those kind of things because each is going to present an argument that presents their best interest. You know, the owners want more games. The players want fewer games on. You know, the players are adamant about playing fewer games because of their health until more dollar signs are thrown in. Every time. This happens every time.
Mm-hmm.
Every time. Then when the dollars come out, then it's like, oh, okay. I mean, hell, we'll probably have a 20-game season before I die. It's out of control.
Eventually.
We'll probably have a 20-game season with an all-star break in the middle. And a couple of bye weeks sandwiched in. And we'll be playing the Super Bowl in March, leading into March Madness. It'll be crazy. You never know what'll happen. All right, a quick note here. The pro days are still going on. Kyle Pitts at Florida had his today. Did you had it? You didn't share it with me. You said you had a little nugget. He looked good today, did he not?
Yeah, he did. And here's a little interesting little nugget that came out of today. Kyle Pitts says he spoke with the Falcons twice before on Zoom, spoke to them again today at his pro day, scheduled to have another Zoom in the near future. He thinks they have real interest in him at number four. He also says no team has asked him to play primarily at wide receiver.
See, that's interesting because we've all assumed that the Falcons would go quarterback, but we've also known that Kyle Pitts is like a top three, top five guy on everybody's board. You just don't pass him up. Maybe you get a quarterback in the second or third. Look, quarterbacks in the second, third, and sixth rounds have done okay. You don't have to spend the fourth pick on a quarterback every time to make a statement, even though I think it's Matty Ice is running out of time
again,
in Atlanta.
It throws in another monkey wrench into this whole thing. And like I said, I think the – You can say what you want about the 49ers with the third pick, but I really am fascinated to see what Atlanta does, what Cincinnati and Atlanta does. Because now this is the third or fourth guy the Falcons may have drafted. Oh. Yesterday was Slater from Northwestern, the offensive guard there.
Yeah.
Now we're hearing, now today, it looks, you know, could be Kyle Pitts. Before that, we heard Mac Jones. We heard the possibility of another quarterback that they would take there.
Yeah.
I Sewell going to Cincinnati. Does he, you know, the Oregon offensive lineman?
Yeah.
What are they? I think what Cincinnati or Atlanta do are going to have this mega domino effect on everybody else.
Absolutely. And it's fascinating. And there are no wrong answers here. I mean,
no.
It seems like there's so many different options and so many different players that you just, that seem like they might work out, but you never know. Coming up at 4 o'clock, we'll hear from Justin Fields and Mac Jones and some NFL experts on ESPN and what they think is going to happen, because we're diving all in. The draft is less than a month away. It's less than, it's 4 weeks? So
I don't know if Dookie draws us being funny. Well, didn't Notre Dame make the college football playoff and beat Clemson last year? No, they got killed. 34-10.
They lost.
And then they lost 31-14 to Alabama.
Roll Tide.
Yeah. Kept it close, though, within 17.
Yeah. All right, we'll take care of all that. More NFL draft talk right around the corner. Don't forget, it's Wednesday. Pete Shepard will have his Wednesday fun facts in the 5:30 segment. You don't want to miss it. Also, we are inviting you to join us. We're out and about again Friday and Monday. Maybe you've got Good Friday off. Maybe you've got Easter Monday off. Come spend it with us doing the show from 2 to 6 at the South Street City Oven and Grill on Pine Ridge Road in Naples. You're all invited to come out there. Also, when you're there, you'll notice that Aaron Walker has put a brand new Nissan Kicks. It's inside the restaurant. It's filled up with basketballs. You guess how many basketballs are in there, and you could win $2,500 courtesy of Naples Nissan. Fact. All you have to do is hang out with us on Friday at South Street City Oven and Grill on Friday for our show and maybe win the $2,500.
Sounds good. Now, yeah, Notre Dame in double overtime on November 7th did beat Clemson 47-40 in double overtime.
Without their quarterback.
But that's all right. Yeah. This is still a good win for Notre Dame. But when it counted, when it really counted 5 weeks later, they got smoked 34-10.
All right. It's Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Check out whatever ridiculous Twitter poll we're running at 99.3 ESPN Radio. Now it's Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN.
I'm Craig Sheeman with Pete Shepard. It's Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Rick Church, almost birthday boy on the other side of the glass. He's an April Fool's baby. He'll be celebrating tomorrow.
Sweet.
Continue the well wishes because we love Rick. Coming up, we're going to dive into some college football in the 4 o'clock hour, 5 o'clock hour, the Pete Shepard Wednesday Fun Facts. Also, I know Wig is listening. It's a Wig Wednesday. He usually checks in around 4 o'clock. So he'll have a hot take for you. It's all good. A
few texts real quick. LSU Tommy, Pete, how does this Pitts guy rate versus Kyle Brady? Was your Miami guy? I like Kyle Brady a lot. Pitts is going to be better because he's not necessarily a tight end. He's just a hybrid. So I think
like
he's
Antonio
more versatile.
Gates, like a wide receiver. Yes. Yep.
Pensacola, Pete, remember the U got smoked by them also? Oh, no, absolutely. But I'm not talking about the U. I know where they stand. I get it. They're not there yet. Nothing to do with it. Yeah. Notre Dame's better than them.
Yeah.
I'm not denying that right now. One has nothing to do with the other. Rick says, praying Miami takes Pitts. Dookie George was only kidding about Notre Dame and Clemson. What else? Notre Dame fan is college football version of MLB fan. History.
By the way, did you know that baseball starts tomorrow?
Yes.
I know you do. Does the average fan out there realize MLB opening day is tomorrow?
Our first Rays game, we're carrying the Rays this year, would be Friday night.
Okay. So, and that's a change, by the way. Not doing the Red Sox. We've done them a couple of years in a row. Going to do the Rays.
Yep.
We're bandwagoners. We're going with a good team. Red Sox stink. Rays are good.
I don't know what they are yet. I don't know what my Red Sox are yet. I don't know. My guess is they won't stink, nor will they be mediocre.
It's awful.
Don't know.
Meanwhile,
what are your Tigers? I know they're better than your team.
Rick's Twins and my Tigers will be battling it out in the AL Central.
Rick's Twins are better than either one of our teams, and Rocco Baldelli will probably get it done again. He's a favorite to win the division. They're just going to not play the Yankees in the playoffs, where they cannot beat them ever, no matter who's playing,
seems that way,
who's managing, or who's pitching.
That is one of the most insane records in all of sports, and I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
Like, you look at the postseason record between the Twins and the Yankees, we're talking like the Yankees, I think, are like 17-1 against the Twins over 12 years. It's insane.
Well, it reminds me of
how dominant that team has been over that other team in the playoffs.
Before the 87-88 season, Bruins in Montreal, same thing. Could not beat them.
Wow.
Lost in the finals twice to them. More than twice. Lost every. They were like 0-16 or 0-17 in playoff series. Some of the most heartbreaking losses ever. I'm talking about Fred Cusick, the old announcer. I think it was 82 mm-hmm. or 81. The Bruins weren't very good, but they got to the semis. Played Montreal. It was a best of five, or I think it was best of five anyway. Guy Lafleur scored late. It was like 2.5 minutes to go. Put Montreal, I'll never forget, it goes, Lafleur, whatever, what? I forget who, I think it was him. It's like, Lafleur, you know, who's playing? It wasn't even Cheevers. It was Gilles Gilbert, I think. Whoever was playing goalie at the time. But he goes, mind you, there's 2 minutes left of the game, and the Canadians win it. It was only 2-1 because he knew they weren't going to come back and win.
Well, there has not. I mean, I obviously was aware of the domination of that series, but until I actually read it not that long ago, what the actual numbers were.
It's bad in print, doesn't it?
It's horrible.
Oh,
and there's not even been any drama. Like, none of them have been close.
No, they haven't. Really?
Owned.
SEC stuff today, they announced that they are not going to have their annual spring meetings in Destin this year.
Oh.
So Finney will be upset because he's always stationed right on the beach over there for his show.
It's a beautiful beach.
So Greg Sankey, SEC commissioner, issued this statement today. The SEC spring meetings provide an opportunity to celebrate our achievements, plan for the future, and focus on our mission to serve people through our universities. We've learned a lot in the last year, including how to conduct effective meetings through technology. We believe a combination of smaller in-person meetings on varying dates and continuing use of virtual meeting technology is more appropriate given the current circumstances at a multi-day indoor conference room gathering. Translation, really, what are we talking about here?
Money.
M-O-N-E-Y.
No fans in the stands last year. We can't spring for a trip to Destin.
No.
That's what
I think you're going to see more, no matter what business you are in, if you're used to flying around the country or flying around the world, everybody's going, all these big CEOs are going, why are we doing that?
Right.
Why do we have to do that? Why do we have to have a big spread of hideous sandwiches in a big conference room with a bunch of suits when I can sit here in my Spider-Man bathrobe and have the same type of virtual meeting from my house?
It's happening.
Yeah. Don't you think? I mean, it's...
Oh, my wife's in the meetings business. It's all switched to Zoom now, man.
Yep, mine has her share, too.
Yeah.
Same thing.
So, yeah, that's the wave of the future. No doubt about it. The future is now. It's all on Zoom. All right, coming up, we will we'll talk with Wig on a Wig Wednesday. And we got a lot more college football to dive into, a lot of pro workout days, all that, and a lot of draft speculation, because that's what we do. That's also what the experts do. We'll hear from others as well, like Matt Miller from ESPN, for example. All that coming up here in the 4 o'clock hour. Plus, Wikipedia. Pete Shepard, today is the 10-year anniversary. Not the 10-year anniversary. It is the anniversary of the 10th and final John Wooden championship at UCLA. Then he had announced his retirement 2 days prior and then walked away a champion, a 10-time champion, a ring for each finger. Mm-hmm. And then with what UCLA did yesterday, first four, final four, we're going to do some John Wooden trivia at Wikipedia that I think everybody could do well on. Also, starting Monday, I've just been informed, we are bringing back the Sheeman and Shepard cash grab.
Ho ho!
So each weekday at 8, 10, noon, 2, 4, and 6, we'll be giving you the keyword that you enter in on the 99.3 ESPN app for your shot at winning $500. You can see all the rules and details at 99.3ESPN.com and keep listening to win. Again, that starts on Monday, everybody. Sheeman and Shepard, 4 o'clock hour next, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.